Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
He's got a picture of Tyler Shook's wife. How about that?
What's the rating? How is she?
What's the nicest way to say this? She is pretty.
Okay.
She looks 30.
Oh, like a soccer mom?
But Tyler Shook is also almost 30.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tyler Shook's been in college forever, so it makes sense.
I'm thinking of college students, and I look at her, and I'm like, that's not a college student.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's the Roundtable here on a Monday. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Max Godd being here with me. Zach Cantrell running the board. Nick has scurried away. He's back there doing producer stuff. Hey, if you need a simple dinner for your family, try catering from Chick-fil-A Stony Brook or Chick-fil-A Barstown Road. From Chick-fil-A nuggets to mac and cheese, enjoy a variety of tray options sized perfectly for your crew. Order through the Chick-fil-A app and we'll have dinner ready in no time. Chick-fil-A Stony Brook and Chick-fil-A Barstown Road, the best source for your catering needs. Ordering requirements may vary. See restaurant for details. And I've been enjoying some Chick-fil-A chicken tenders in between our breaks. So there we go. 437-960 UPS Jobs text line. Jump on in there as well. All right. I've got an IU fan in my DMs. It's time to admit that IU has by far the best roster of all the local teams. Can Woody coach them is the only question I have. There we go. Little IU smack talk coming for you. 408 on a Monday. All right. So Pat Kelsey had a big, quote, recruiting weekend this weekend, okay? Jaden Quaintance was on campus, and apparently some other guys as well. And I got this article on WDRB written by Rick Bozich, where he talked to Josh Hurd about Pat Kelsey. And one of the things that really caught my attention is he says this. The latest bump is that at least $2 million was raised for the school's NIL collective. Knowing that, when Hurd read the cards cracked the final three choices of productive and prospective players from a Power 5 program, he knew life was about to get interesting around the cards program. This is a quote from Josh Hurd. I think the latest collective fundraiser showed Pat, hey, you're going to have the support you need to build the roster and the team you want to build. I don't want to say he's had no limits, but it's pretty close to like, hey, go put this team together, end quote. Okay? So, even according to Josh Hurd, their NIL is in a very, very good place. So, I was very confused this weekend when I saw reports that Jaden Quaintance, the, you know, star freshman that decommitted from Kentucky, was on Louisville's campus. And then it's being reported that he's asking for $1.5 and $2 million. And Louisville fans are like, no, we're not paying that. And the rumors are he's either going to Memphis or Arkansas. And then we just read that story last week where Memphis is getting $5 million for their NIL from FedEx every year for the next 5 years. And since when did Louisville fans have problems spending money for NIL? Like, I thought that was the whole thing. You had Kieber on here on the Diener show. You've had all these Louisville fans bragging about how much NIL they have and all this money, and they're matching, you know, $2 million, $4 million, $6 million, whatever it is that they have, that they're like, yeah, we're going to spend on NIL. If the player wants to come here and make NIL, they can come here and make NIL. And it just flies in the face of it. Yeah, I saw this from accounts on Twitter. It's not all Louisville fans are like, well, we're not paying that. He could go somewhere else. We're not paying that NIL. It's like, well, if you got it, then why don't you use it? Right. If that's if you have so much, we're like, well, you know, we want to spend it, you know, spread it out between players. Okay, again, if you have that much NIL, you should have enough to pay Jaden Quaintance if you all really want him, and still have some left over. So just to be Max, those two things didn't really jibe or come together for me.
Everyone wants the NIL until the offers start coming. That's the biggest thing. It's like, all right, we want to go and get the best players. Okay, this is the cost of getting the best players.
Yeah,
it's like it seems a little pricey,
a little steep.
It's like anyone that tries to do anything that's sustainability or anything that's green or anything that's going to save the planet. They're like, yeah, I really want to save the planet, but it's like at that price.
Yeah, if you're looking at putting solar panels on your roof.
Yeah, it's like,
I know what that looks like. I know what that smells like. I know what that feels like.
You're damn right. But you're exactly right. Like, okay, you get a tax credit. Okay, that tax credit's not enough to offset the thousands of dollars that I'm going to have to use to convert my roof into a solar, an active solar home.
Well, I don't want to get on solar panels. I mean, I wouldn't put them on my roof.
No.
I'd have them freestanding somewhere else because that's just ugly.
What no, is it that? Is.
But
what is that?
I don't have the room to put them like in my yard. Like, I don't have a
that's, big, okay.
So
that's
I'd have to put
that's
them. Fair. I had to put fair. Up. Like, you see the houses, but this is to your example. This is an example to go along with your example of like, okay, then you see what the real cost is, and look, that's where it is.
That's the cost of doing business,
exactly.
Especially if you've got boosters that have been burned that are like, I don't want to put money down.
Sure.
I hate to use the whole Stoops thing, but it's like you got to pony up at that point.
Right, right. And if they want a guy like Jaden Quaintance, that's the asking price. Look, we know what that's like. I mean, being a UK basketball fan under John Calipari, they had to get a certain amount of NIL. Not even all that money from, again, these are rumors, made it to all the players the way it was supposed to. It's a difficult dance, but it's tough to sit and listen to bragging about all the money you have and say, well, I don't want to spend that money. Which, if you want to be frugal, I'm a frugal person. I totally get it. But to say we didn't want Jaden Quaintance because we didn't want to pay for him is silly, considering all the NIL money that you allegedly have.
Right.
That's where I come from.
It reminds me so much of, you know, the social media where it's $5, $4, $3, $2, $1 rows and columns for like build your own Kentucky football team or build your legendary Kentucky football team.
Yeah,
where you had to pick a quarterback, a coach, a wide receiver.
You have like a $50 column and then a $25.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's those that you know, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to get the $5 quarterback and the $5 running back. And then it's like, oh, wait a second. Now I only got $5 left.
Right.
I can only build this team with $15.
Exactly. Like, this is really tough to do.
Exactly.
This is more difficult than I thought it was. I can't just take one great quarterback and then a bunch of bums around him. Texas says, Woody gets the first and last visit from recruits. IU has the cash, and Woody is not scared to spend it. I mean, that is a good – and look, Dusty May – up in Michigan, I know he wasn't able to lock in Janelle Davis because he couldn't get in academically, but I mean, he's gotten, I think, six players from what I understand. Yeah, he has six commits in 3 days. So it looks like Michigan's NIL is definitely something to contend with. And they're good. I mean, he's getting like good players too. So it makes you wonder, you know, how much truth is around NIL. And that's the thing. That Max, I don't believe anybody when it comes to how much they say how much money they have in NIL. Like, I don't believe any of it because they can make up any number they want, and you can say, okay, show me a receipt or show me exactly what the numbers are and how you got there. Well, I can't do that. I don't know if I can do that. It's silly. If you had the money, use it. Get good players. Let's get this thing going. I'll say the same thing about Kentucky. If they got NIL money, they got $4 million, boom, right off the bat. When Mark Pope walked off the bus and you got $4 million,
sweet.
Then let's use it. Let's get good players and let's not worry about how much they cost if it's that important to field a good basketball team. You think that, especially with Louisville fans, they've had such a tough time at it here recently with their team that they wouldn't care how much money they're like, yeah, get a Jaden Quaintance on the team. Get whoever, spend whatever money you have. You say you have this money, let's use it then. What's the use of it just sitting there and you say, look how much money I have. This is great. What do you spend it on? Nothing. I just stare at it. What's the point of it? It's just sitting there. It has no, it's useless then. It's just paper at that point.
Well, I mean, you want to have something in the bank at least.
Oh, I'm not saying you spend it all, but you got to do something with it. It can't just all sit there, especially if you're charging for services.
Right, but if you've gotten to the point now where, and again, the asking prices aren't going down.
They're not.
They're increasing.
Yes.
So to say you've got $4 million in the collective at that point. Mm-hmm. Okay, what? That maybe gets you four players? Like four, like, elite players?
Yeah.
Amongst men's basketball, football, women's basketball, baseball? It's like, okay. It's like, that's great and all. So we've got $4 million. Like,
sure.
That's great. Buys you four really good players.
And then how much is allocated to each sport?
Exactly.
On top of it, is that $4 million just for basketball that they're talking about? I know that $4 million that was given was just for basketball in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not including whatever they have for football or whatever else either.
That's the danger of having accounts with high commodity items. And I'm not saying that student athletes are commodity, but the talent that they provide is a commodity.
Is a commodity, 100%.
It's one thing when you've got $6 million in the bank and your commodity is extremely cheap. There's not as much risk and calculated risk when investing that money.
And I wonder if, like, and again, this isn't a knock on Pat Kelsey. I mean, maybe this is the right thing. Say, okay, I can get one Jaden Quaintance, or I can get four, you know, Division I/mid-major guys that aren't Jaden Quaintance. I'm going to go that route. And I understand that. I completely understand that.
I think you're seeing a lot of people that are starting to do that now.
I wonder if that'll affect, like, these high caliber players and their decisions in the future. Like, what if Jaden Quaintance walks in and neither Arkansas nor Memphis is like, you're going to give him $2 million? I think one of them will. But like, what if one of these players is told no? Like, no, I'm not giving you that money. And then you go somewhere else, say, okay, this is what I want. And they say, no, I'm not giving you that money. Like, when's that going to happen? I'm sure that has happened before, but I wonder if that list starts to grow as you mentioned, these prices continue to be driven up. Do you have more athletic departments or coaches saying, no, man, I ain't doing that?
Yeah, and not only that, but you're looking at their history. It's like, when have they transferred before? It's like, what type of character does this player have that's
right,
asking for this type of money? I think you're going to see a lot more coaches, because that's the thing that all these coaches are saying, right, wrong, or indifference, the reality of what they're saying, is constantly having to re-recruit guys.
Yeah.
Say whatever you want about the results on the field, but the one thing that Kentucky football does not struggle with, it's retention of players from the portal.
You're right
about that. They lose guys, but they don't lose their guys, their dogs. They don't lose them. Because there's something within that recruiting process that keeps these guys loyal. I know we've said on the show before, but Dante Walker. There's no reason Dante Walker should still be at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
None. There's no reason for that. There's no reason to say that Georgia didn't offer X.
Yeah, amount of money for him or Alabama or whatever. I mean, Kentucky's lost a couple of wide receivers, but they were wide receivers. The one wide receiver they lost was the Texas A&M kid. They had one catch last year.
Yes.
They lost a redshirt freshman today. And they lost Todd Lanter's cousin. So the guys they've lost were guys that, A, haven't been here very long, or B, if they were here, hadn't played.
But you didn't lose any of your starters.
Exactly.
Like, you didn't lose one starter.
You didn't lose Berrion Brown. You didn't lose Dane Key. You didn't lose Deion Walker. You didn't lose, who's the linebacker that came back for his 17th year now. He's got six fingers. I can't remember. Oh,
J.J. Weaver.
J.J. Weaver, you didn't lose him. I mean, you're right. The best of the best are still sticking around. And that does say something when that is the case. And most of the guys that transferred in have stayed in. But, you know, I've actually been pretty impressed with the amount of players that Mark Stoops has been able to keep at Kentucky in the transfer portal era. And maybe for all of the hits that Stoops has taken for, you know, being too slow on NIL or not welcoming in enough, they seem to have enough to be able to keep these guys around for multiple seasons.
Keep guys around, but then also get guys in the portal.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. And whatever type of strategy they have from the recruiting aspect has been working because they get the guys that they want, and they've been able to retain the guys they want to retain.
Yeah. And that's it's a major deal because unlike basketball, I couldn't imagine having to rebuild a football roster on the scale that these basketball coaches have to rebuild their rosters.
Oh, yeah.
It would be impossible to do that. Could you imagine Mark Stoops ending the season in December, gets through January, February, the second wave of the transfer portal opens, and his team is gone. Not just like three or four guys, his team is gone. The way these basketball teams have to do.
I think a lot of it, though, that's comparing apples to oranges because football from a player perspective is so much different. It really is.
And again,
know my heart when I say this. I'm not saying that basketball players don't have a loyalty to their team. It's just not to the level that you have with some of these football programs.
I understand that.
As a football player, where it may just be because you're just hitting people, and there is this us versus them mentality while you're playing, and you're knowing that you doing your job does not mean that you get to be the one that takes the shot or sets up the play for the winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
In football, you've got offensive linemen that get no glory. That's
right.
Like, this is just what I'm meant to do. And it's the game is so much bigger than yourself. And I think that's why, from a transfer perspective, and also just the amount of guys that are on a football team versus
right.
Basketball team's got, what, 15 at the most?
At the most, yeah.
On a roster.
Not even like 12.
Where back when I was playing, it was 115, 120.
Right.
120 was like kind of the break, like the drop-off point, but 105 would get invited to camp.
Right.
So it's from that perspective, I think a lot of it is just from just the mass size of the rosters. But then, two, I think you just got two different types of players.
That, and I think there is something to the camaraderie between, because I've been in both. I've been in football locker rooms. I've been in basketball locker rooms. I played basketball in high school. I mean, again, it's not the college level. But I think there definitely is something where you go through that type of physical struggle.
Exactly.
With other guys, on the team that you go through camp together. You go on these long road trips. I mean, it's a violent sport. It's a sport where, you're picking your buddies up off the ground all the time. The injuries, all these things that go into it. And again, basketball has their fair share of that, but not on the scale of football. I think that's what the combat nature of football as a sport, I think, naturally leads to the cohesiveness of the players on the team. You're always going to have your divas. You're always going to have your guys that think they're bigger than the program.
Always
in any sport. But that's a great, and again, you played it at a much bigger level than I did, but you've been there where, like, you see that bond. Like a lot of these basketball players, they don't spend the time with each other the way like linemen do, specifically
right.
Linemen. Like I know that's a specifically close group of guys,
yes.
And to leave those guys must be more difficult.
Exactly, and even with that, it's not even just the closeness and the camaraderie. It's if you don't do your job, you can get one of your guys hurt.
Yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Yes.
It's not as much of you look stupid or anything like that. It's if you don't do your job, you can end up getting someone hurt.
Oh, we were playing the spring game at Campbellsville. Played the spring game at Campbellsville. There was a guy that just didn't know the place, and it was at the end of the scrimmage and or the spring game, and the coach is looking around, putting in guys that haven't gotten in or whatever. And he looks at the one guy and he's like, "I can't put you in because you don't know the place. Someone could get hurt."
Yeah.
I'll never forget that because you don't think of it like that. But if you miss your assignment, in a spring game, they could end the quarterback season next year. Or the guy next to you, the lineman next to you, if you miss an assignment and he calls for a specific type of block and you miss it and he's on an island by himself, you're exactly right when it comes to that. That's the dependence that you have on another teammate is exponentially greater than what it is in basketball or baseball even.
Exactly. It's when I... when I was playing, it was my redshirt sophomore year, and we were in camp, and we were in a blitz pickup period during practice, and I was picking up what's called a Mike X blitz. So it's the Mike and the Will, and they cross the face of the center.
Right.
And with – I had – we told the running back, stay inside. You need to pick up the Mike. You need to pick up I'll pick up Mike. You pick up the Will. So I went and I picked up the Mike linebacker when he blitzed. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to be able to run that Mike to where you felt a guard. I didn't feel the guard. So instead of bumping the Mike and waiting for someone to loop over, mm-hmm. I had to stay with him. And I was staying, and I was like, "This someone's going to be looping over." And I was getting nervous. I was like, I got to pick this guy up. And I took this Mike linebacker. I just grabbed him right on his shoulder pad, and I shoved him as hard as I could. I mean, just clubbed him, basically.
Yeah.
And he went full speed into my right tackle's left knee.
Whoops.
Full speed. And it was either sprained PCL or sprained ACL. But because I did that, I didn't follow what I was coached to do. I'm supposed to run that mic.
Yeah.
Till I get a guard. Never felt one. I got antsy. I tried to do more than what I was called to do. And I threw him. And I'll never forget what Summers told me. He said, it's not just being stupid. It's not just being stupid that can get a player hurt. Good intentions can hurt your teammates also. He says, because you tried to do more than what you were supposed to do. You thought you were bigger than the game itself, that you could do more than what your job entailed you to do.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that, because that was such a lesson for me.
Yeah.
Of like being like, I've got the ability to be able to push this linebacker and not follow the protocol.
Right.
And pick it up, and then I was going to look like a hero. That I was
right.
able to.
Way to go. Yeah.
Exactly. And because of that, I got my tackle hurt that wasn't able to play in the first game of the year. And it was strictly because of me.
See, something similar happened to me. So when I was a senior and I was going into college, and I had already committed to play at Campbellsville and everything, so I made the all-district team. And when you're your senior, make all-district, you play in that the all-star game.
Right.
And so we were at – it was the second day of practice. It was the East-West all-star game, second day of practice. And it was first day was kind of like, you know, just walk through stuff or whatever. Second day, you put the pads on. And I'm standing there, and we run a play, and whistle blows. So it's kind of like half speed. Whistle blows to the guard next to me, and the defensive the tackle across from me wouldn't stop after the whistle blow. They were both, you know, still struggling with each other. They fall into my right knee. Because I turn around, they fall to my right knee, dislocate my right knee.
Oh, geez.
On the practice field. Yeah, my knee's on this side is normal. Then it's at the back of my knee. And actually, the ambulance had to cart me off. Well, then this set me back. Like, because those two guys were being jackasses. I showed up to Campbellsville. I couldn't play for a month because I had a dislocated knee. And I had a big leg brace on. And so it set me behind. And you know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I show up and they're like, oh, who's this guy? He's hurt. He thinks, you know, you're not going to get out of that leg brace and just walk in and start playing and da-da-da. So it set me back physically, but also with the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Like when they're doing the camp stuff, I didn't have to do it because I was injured.
Yep.
And so while they're running up and down the field and doing all this stuff and throwing up and doing two-a-days and I can't do it, and they're looking over at me as I'm, you know, just standing there in shorts and a t-shirt and my stupid leg brace on. That was tough. It was really tough for me to overcome that.
Yeah.
And it was really, it took me longer than everybody else to ingratiate myself with the team, which eventually it was fine. And I had friends and, I had a good time there and everything. But I started behind the eight ball because, like you said, like just, you know, you did too much. These guys weren't doing the right thing at all and sent me back. So, yeah, good story time there. All right, texters, let's see here. Texter, shared sacrifice bonds the football team together. At least I did when I played. That's from BB in Blue Mist. Texter, I need a scouting report on Big Rig, the basketball player. Oh no, it was bad. It wasn't good at all. I stunk. I quit after my sophomore year. I played my freshman year, my sophomore year, and then I was like, the track coach came out and was like, "Do you want to throw shot put?" I said, "What do I have to do?" He said, "You have to lift weights and run a mile before practice. That's all you got to do." Sold. that time's like 1 mile was nothing to me. I love lifting weights anyway, and I just had to throw a 12-pound ball around. You got me. Better than basketball. I moved on. Texter, NCAA screwed up with the way they handled NIL. The money and demands have gotten ridiculous. Only chance they have of gaining any control is to put in a team salary cap. It's not a bad idea. Otherwise, college sports will be dead in 10 years. I don't know if it'll be dead in 10 years, but
it won't look the same.
It won't look the same. No, absolutely. Texter, did Rig and Max make it to the UofL spring game to see what real football looks like? real football, the Brom squad. I did see Rick Bozich was live tweeting the spring game. Did you go, Zach?
I did not go.
You didn't go?
No,
really?
I should have went.
I thought you'd be there with Taylor Lynch and Ethan Moore.
I know.
Yeah.
I guess the invite got lost in the mail,
the
guys.
The SLL guy.
LSO.
What is wrong with
Louisville
you today?
Sports Live.
LSL guy.
There we go.
Yeah.
Texas. I should have been out there.
Jeff Walls lands a 5-star point guard over Kentucky. Amari Berry. I saw it. Don't worry. I followed Biggest Biscuit. Of course I saw it. He retweeted it and said something like, "Hooray!" I don't know what he said. It was something
hooray.
Like that. Biscuit. I don't know. What did he say?
Do people still say hooray?
I do.
Hip hip
do
hooray.
Hip hip. Oh yeah, absolutely. Hooray. Yeah, absolutely. You don't. What do you say?
Like yay.
Yay. Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right.
Great.
I found Biscuit. Okay, here we go. He tweeted, retweeted it, and said he tweets a lot more than I do. Just as an FYI. It's gone now. Sorry. It was something like yippee or something like that. All right,
Yippee's worse than hooray.
Yeah, they're both pretty bad. Let's not get lost in the weeds there. They're both very bad. All right, on the other end, Louisville loses another football player to the portal. A former Louisville football player may be visiting Kentucky. And Big Z calls the Hogs. We did that later in the show. Lots more here to come on the roundtable. If you're looking for the best security company in Kentucky, look no further than Sonatrol of Louisville. That's right, Sonatrol of Louisville. They're locally and family owned for over 35 years. Sonatrol of Louisville is the number one rated sports security company in Kentucky with over 350 five-star reviews on Google. Go ahead and give them a call at 502-966-8999 or go to SonatrolKY.com for your home or your company's security needs. If you need better security, the best technology, Sonatrol is the place for you. 35 years, they've been locally and family-owned and operated. We love our local and family-owned operated companies here in Louisville, Kentucky. So go ahead, give them your business. Best technology, best technicians, high resolution cameras. They also do fire monitoring, cameras, badge access, and more. And you do it all from your phone, SonatrolKY.com.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's the Round Table here on ESPN 680 1057. I got Max Godby in the studio with me today, as well as Zach Cantrell, producer extraordinaire. Again tonight after the show, Reds versus Phillies, 6:10 p.m. Tomorrow we have Louisville baseball versus Western Kentucky for their midweek series. That's at 5:50 p.m. over on 93.9 The Ville. And then Reds versus Phillies will follow up with that 6:10 p.m. tomorrow, ESPN 680 1057. So 437-9680 UPS jobs text line if you want to get into the show that way. All right, so there is some Brock Vandegrift sound that was on 247, and it has to do with him being basically a hidden gem from the portal. So let's go ahead and listen to this. He's an underrated player, portal player, so says 247. Go ahead, Zach.
I think it's Brock Vandegrift. Kentucky has been a team that has been very consistent. I know this season that Mark Stoops made some things about NIL and how he needed more support, but Kentucky is a program that has consistently been 8 wins, 9 wins. They can pop a 10 on you every once in a while. I think solidifying the quarterback position at Kentucky is going to really help them. It's not a national championship move, but it's a move towards keeping your program going in the right direction.
All right, so there we go. So it's a thought that is it to a point now where backs for Mark Stoops, it's just not about taking steps back. It's about maintaining success. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I don't. I guess what stuck out to me is like it's not a national championship move, and no one's expecting Stoops and company to contend for national championships. That's not what we're asking here. But with the back-to-back 7-5 seasons, you bring in Brock Vandergriff, and then you also have on campus or going to be on campus here soon, Penny Boone, the former Louisville commit. He was a Toledo transfer. He's a running back. And here, let me get his stats up here for you, Max, real quick, and then we'll talk about this and some more here when it comes to Kentucky football. And then Louisville football, too. They had some news today as well. But you have Penny Boone. He left last week before the spring game, basically because he was further down the depth chart than he wanted to be. It says here, this is from Marshall Levinson from Rivals, states the following. Louisville transfer running back Penny Boone is visiting Lexington today to meet with the Kentucky staff. Boone transferred to Louisville from Toledo this offseason, led the MAC with 1,400 yards and 15 touchdowns, okay? So he's a good player. We'll see what happens with him. You got Vandergriff. Is this more now about not taking steps back to where you're 6-6, you know, 5-7, where you're still maintaining 7-5, 8-4? That seems like what the reasonable goal is for Kentucky football moving forward and what Mark Stoops is trying to do.
It should be 8. It's like that. That should be.
I agree.
Eight.
That should be the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
100%.
That should be an 8 season. The goal should be 9 each time.
Yeah.
That should be the expectation. And I think the moves that were made this offseason, I think puts you in that right direction. I think there's still questions when it comes to the offense. I think that's still the glaring wart on UK football mm-hmm. right now that still needs to be addressed. But I think as well, I think the move with Vandergriff, and if they use him properly,
yeah,
that's going to be the big thing, is because we've been here before. We were just here last year.
Apparently there's been more design runs for him. Like they Bush Hamden understands his physicality, the size he brings to the table, and the fact that he's, you know, he can be a running quarterback on top of throwing the football. I don't think that'll be an issue. I feel like
we didn't think that'd be an issue last year.
That's a great point. You're right.
We didn't think it'd be an issue with Will Levis.
Yeah,
last year.
Yeah, they took the running game out of his repertoire as well.
There is something about, because this isn't the first time it's happened. It's not the first time it happened with Will Levis. It happened with Patrick Toles as well. Mm-hmm. In 2014 to 2015, he had a substantial drop in his overall performance.
Yeah.
And it's because the running game was taken completely away from him. Now, supposedly, that was a Shannon Dawson decision. And
we know what we feel about Shannon
exactly.
Dawson.
But that is a huge glaring red flag when you take an element of someone's game mm-hmm. that complements what they're good at and you just take that away from them, then it makes them an average to subpar player.
Yeah.
When you do that, I think it's exactly what happened with Devin Leary. Not saying Devin Leary should have been a runner. Mm-hmm. Goodness, no. But you took what he did best or the things that supplemented his play, you took it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like anything else in our profession and in anyone's profession. You take away, if you're really good at one aspect of your job, but there's other characteristics you have that you're really good at that help monetize that skill that you're good
yeah.
at. And you take that away, well, guess what? You're not that good at it anymore.
Right.
To my perspective, I was really good. The only reason I was any good was for the amount of film I watched. That was the only reason, because I could pick up on tells.
Yeah.
Dante Fowler Jr., there was no reason he should have beat me at all. None. Not one time. Mm-hmm. We weren't even in the same weight class. We weren't in the same strength class. None of that. But because I knew what he was going to do before every single play, it gave me a fighting chance.
You're able to counteract it.
Exactly. But then let's say Stoops comes up with the idea of, like, we're not going to watch film. We're going to do Calipari's thing and watch our highlights.
Exactly.
Which I
what
did not
Max
have.
Do well? Right.
In which I didn't have a lot of highlights. I would get absolutely curb stomped.
Yeah.
100%. Every single player I've ever played against. If I didn't have the film to watch beforehand to just find and try to figure out what they do best and try to take away the things they do best, I'd be dead. I mean, I would have no chance. Both my ankles would be swollen if that was the case.
Not just one.
But it's taking away a part of your game that doesn't make you the complete player anymore. And that's why it's so important with coaching philosophies that you have to lean into the strengths of your players, even if it scares you of that philosophy.
Or it's not something that you're not comfortable with or doesn't fit your scheme.
Exactly. Jeff Brohm, still, with what he did with this team, he went against what his philosophy is. His philosophy is throw the ball pro style. It's not run the ball.
Right, that's all he
and
did.
Have a game manager. That's not his style, but yet because he did that, they had the season they did because he was willing to play to the strength of his players.
Yeah, and they and speaking of Louisville football, they just had another player enter the transfer portal. This one, offensive lineman Luke Burgess, says, after much prayer and discussion with my family, decided to enter the transfer portal with 4 years of eligibility. He redshirted last year, was his freshman year. First and foremost, I would like to thank the entire Louisville coaching strength and training staff. A special thank you to Coach Jeff Brohm and Coach Owens for believing in me and for my development this past season at Louisville. I am forever grateful for my experience and first season at Louisville, and I look forward to seeing out God's plan for me. And he was a
no interviews.
Yeah, no interviews, please. He's a very highly touted prospect coming in on the offensive line. Also, he did the famous L&M Eats video show where he and Madden Sanker would go around the city of Louisville and try out different like restaurants, like Ollie's Trolley and places like that. So now that's gone as well. But, I mean, there's been a number of players transfer from Louisville. And, I'm just guessing, and this is from what I'm hearing and being told, is that the people are lower on the depth chart than they wanted to be in the first place. But that's Lole, Alderman, Penny Boone, and now Luke Burgess. I mean, those are four players that were expected to either start or get significant amount of playing time this year. And Luke Burgess, again, he would have been a redshirt freshman, so I don't know exactly how much he was going to be in the offensive line rotation.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a guy that they had high hopes for, that they thought would, down the road, be a very, very good offensive lineman for about three years, you know, from his redshirt sophomore year till senior year. Hopefully he could hold down a spot on that offensive line. And, again, if they're that sensitive about where they are in the depth chart, then, you know, I guess good riddance to them. Yeah. But is there something more going on to it? That I don't know. It just seemed like Louisville had a little more entering the transfer portal, whereas Kentucky, so far, knock on wood, hasn't had that much at all. I mean, they have a few wide receivers that we didn't know anything about, and really that's been it. Nobody majors left.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think there's... I know there's been some sort of drama involving the amount of players that have left Louisville or some sort of message that's trying to be pushed on it. I don't particularly believe it.
I don't either. I'm not saying...
I know you're not.
Yeah, that was last week where like they had a couple of Florida State guys and some other people go on Twitter and say their NIL checks are bouncing, which I don't think that's happening at all. I don't think that's the case. So the logical Schrodinger's cat, the logical explanation is the best explanation, and that is playing time.
Yeah.
Or depth chart. And it's just, but that's a lot of players. But then again, Deion Sanders has
like massive turnover.
Ton of players in the transfer portal, and he was supposed to be the dude. Like, I mean, everyone's like, well, I want to play for Deion Sanders, and they had an influx of dudes from the portal, and they you know, increased ticket sales and all that stuff, and now you have an influx of guys leaving the transfer portal. It's just another reason why this stuff's wild and crazy, and you can't guess or predict anything that's going to happen. And again, Kentucky and Mark Stoops are in a weird spot to where most of their guys tend to stay for the most part.
Still so crazy. I mean, that's a crazy aspect. And I mean, I get it. I understand that you're wanting to play, but when does the transfer portal open back up for football? Like when is the
It's open now.
Yeah, I know it's open now, but what's like?
Well, was it stop?
Yeah.
That's a great question. I don't know. Let me talk now. I'll find it.
See, for me, I really want to give myself a fighting chance into the camp and see if I can't earn it. But again,
it's a good point.
That's me talking 10, 14 years ago. The game has changed so much. But I was always just in it. It closes
April 30th. So next week. Yeah. So next Tuesday. So basketball is May 1st. Football is April 30th. Thank you, Zach.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Zach.
Then I don't know. And again, it's me just trying to understand the strategy for these student athletes now. It's trying to understand that strategy. Because there's got to be something to it. There's some sort of success somewhere that so many guys are willing to transfer out like that. Transferring wasn't that big when I was playing.
Because you were penalized for it.
Yeah, you were penalized.
You had to sit a year.
Unless you could prove that there was a good reason
why. Extenuating circumstances. Exactly. Like your coach leaves or there's a sick relative in the state you want to transfer to.
Not even
or whatever.
That. It also depends. This is how dirty the NCAA is.
And cold-hearted.
Cold-hearted. Ruthless. Just lizard people. Is all.
Reptiles! Reptilians!
Anyway, so there was a guy on our team that played for Nebraska, and he transferred home to be closer to his dad, who was dying. And because that it was like, it wasn't like a, what was the term that he used? It was like, because it wasn't like a sexy disease that basically the NCAA didn't really know what it was, they didn't think it was super valid.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's terrible. That's gross.
His dad's diagnosis wasn't sexy enough, therefore it wasn't high profile enough.
That's terrible. So what did he end up doing?
He set out. He set out for a full year.
Jeez. See, that's why the transfer portal is good.
I'll always take player sides because I know the dirtiness of some of these football coaches.
Yeah.
I've been on the receiving end of, I'm going to be here forever. And then literally the next day they're gone.
Yeah.
And you don't find out until you see someone tweet about it.
Yeah.
So I've been on that side. So I know how there's coaches that have rigged that system and abused that system to just leave town. Mm. But I'm also not ignorant to know that players would do the exact same thing.
Sure.
My firm belief on it is if a coach has the right to be able to go and rig that system, then student athletes should have the right to be able to rig that system as well.
Sure.
There should be some sort of, and I'm not saying that, you know, there's a reason why the coach is getting paid X and the player's getting paid Y. Mm. Like there's a maturity reason for that. I get all of that. But still, there needs to be the way that student athletes have been villainized for wanting more, dude, it's like having to buy a video game that's got, I've got to pay $65 for a game that I am in.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I mean, that's illegal. Like that's 100% illegal. And so from that perspective, I get, and I will always try to see that way. But like you said, there's players that think they are worth more than what they actually are. Mm-hmm. I think in college I may have been worth maybe 50 G, maybe.
Ah, there you go. I think 50 maybe. G, yeah,
but,
I like
but
that.
I'm not gonna go out and try to tell everyone I'm worth like $250,000 as an offensive lineman.
I'd like to have seen you in a truck commercial
dude,
less than 10.
I'm telling you, dude.
You would have been great at that.
I would have been so good at the NIL aspect.
You would have
been. Because I would have leaned into the walk-on thing. I would have leaned into the dorkiness of me.
Yes.
The GameStops, the comic book stores.
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to say no to you.
Oh, yes. I probably would have been the highest paid walk-on, former walk-on.
In the history of the NCAA.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. The amount of buffets I went to. Dude, I could have, yeah, I could have done very, now it wouldn't have been millions, but
no.
It was more people would do it for irony's sakes.
It'd be a lot more money than you had back then when you did, which was
dude, Gatty Town, be the official spokesperson for Gatty Town.
Oh, Gatty's Pizza, yes. Hey, there's still one over around Preston Highway. There's a Gatty.
I think the one in Lexington still.
Is it still open?
I haven't been in Lexington since football season, so I don't, and I still don't even go down Nicholasville Road that much.
We went to Gattyland after one of my daughter's basketball games this winter. It was extraordinary. The pizza tasted exactly like it did when I was a kid and I was in college. It was great. I loved it. That's Occam's razor. Yeah, not Schrodinger cat. That's the observable change in quantum mechanics. Thank you very much. I was saying Occam's razor, the most likely solution is the easiest solution. Texture, not trying to gotcha, but how is having to pay for a game you are in illegal?
Well, they took my likeness without me asking.
Yeah.
I didn't give consent to be in that game.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's legal. Yeah, you can't take me as who I am
right.
And put me in something to sell it and earn money off it without my permission.
Exactly.
It's me. That's exactly it. No, and you got your check for that.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did get my check for that.
And Jeffries did not. Or no, he did.
I think he did.
Yeah, I think he did too.
He did.
Yes.
No, I know for a fact.
He did. Yeah, he did. Let's see here.
His check was bigger than mine.
Okay, so I'm not going to say who I got this from, but Burgess is leaving mostly because he had a player ranked lower than him in the same class that has outperformed him, and that is Joe Crocker. So again, it was depth chart stuff. Not NIL stuff. Like it was rumored to be at first. It's depth chart stuff. Texter, Nicholasville Road Gaddies is still open. There you go.
Oh,
Max.
There we go.
Maybe one football game this year. You go with the little Gaddies before or after little post game Gaddies.
Oh gosh, to take my son to Gaddy Town, dude. He won't even know what to do with himself.
Oh, hell no. He would love that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Come on, Gaddy Town, make it for just a few more months.
A few more months. Judd's got to go. He's got to play the roly ball game. Let's go. Texter, let's see here. This is Ugana on Yenso. I don't know what that was about. It is a shot of his stats. Please stop saying the word portal. I don't know what I'd say. Texter, Campbellsville has a killer Mr. Gaddies, but no arcade. Now, I'm going to be in Campbellsville this weekend.
Why?
My daughter has a softball tournament there.
Oh, okay.
And so we're going to be, this is the first time I've been in Campbellsville since I left after my freshman year.
Is Campbellsville even ready for you?
I don't know if they're ready for me or not. I just wanted to make sure they still had the Druthers there. It's the only place left in the state of Kentucky with a Druthers fast food restaurant.
You need to go talk to the new head coach at, he's going into a second year, but Jake Russell.
Yeah.
He played at UK.
Oh, really?
He was a backup there for years, and he transferred. I think he transferred to Eastern, but
okay,
dude's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. But he was like one of the, when he was at Kentucky Wesleyan, he was like one of the youngest coaches in college football.
Oh, wow. So he's at Campbellsville now.
Yes.
Okay, very good. I might run over there and see what the campus looks like. Again, this has been...
Rest dog.
I mean, I was 19 years old, man. I mean, gee whiz, it's been that long. I haven't been back that long. That's crazy. Let's see here. When guys lead, does that mean you are loaded at those positions? I trust my Brom. Okay. Texter, okay, fair enough. I didn't think about that. I try to keep NIL out of my mind at all times. That was the person asking about the...
Yeah, and it's a good question.
No, it's a very good question.
Because you would think... That you were, it's like, hey, can we use your, like, even when you're, like, on TV or, like, news network.
Sure.
You have to give consent to be able to be on TV.
Right. It's like sign a waiver. Like, you see those shows all the time, like, Impractical Jokers.
Exactly.
Like, those people that are involved in the prank, they have to sign a waiver for them to be on TV. And if they don't, they have to pixelate their face where you can't see who
exactly.
They are.
Exactly.
So, there we go. All right, let's take a break on the other end. Mark Pope Sound. He was on Jim Rome and Feinbaum today, so we'll get to that and more here on the roundtable. Hey, want to say thanks to 812 Hemp for hosting us last Friday. Big hit out there at Thunder over Louisville, as 502 Hemp and 812 Hemp are the official hemp and CBD providers of the Kentucky Derby. They had the Kentucky Derby pins in their stores if you want to buy one. We saw them there on the counter. We went there last Friday. Today is the last day for that 25% off your entire purchase sale. So if you haven't made it out to 502 Hemp over there in Douglas Hills or 812 Hemp in Clarksville off the Lewis and Clark Parkway, do it now. You only have a few hours left. They close at 7. Go in there and say 420 fun. Get 25% off of your entire purchase. The last of the biggest sales until the holidays. So go out there and take advantage of it. Go visit them at 502hemp.com, 812hemp.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.